right, so welcome to the Your Answer Radio podcast. I'm Jim Watkins. And the subject of this podcast is really dedicated to new readers. I get emails from time to time from folks who find the podcast and they're enjoying it. And I received an email recently from a gentleman who said he'd only recently discovered the Urantia book. And he is a devout Christian and he goes to church. And his wife is a Christian and his family and all of his friends. And in discovering the Urantia book, he's been quite impressed and he has read the book. And he's very excited about having the Urantia book in his possession. But when he tries to share it with other people, particularly people who are, you know, attending church or going to his church, there's pushback. There's a lot of pushback. And I have been through this as well. As I told the listener, I once dated a woman who was a devout Baptist, and she was not too friendly with the Urantia book. And part of that has to do with, a great part of it has to do with the fact that most Christians are taught from an early age that the Bible is the final word of God. In fact, some people point to a particular, there's a couple of quotes, but the one that they usually come up with the most is from Revelations, where John the Revelator says, "And anyone who adds any words to this is blasphemy." So you're kind of stuck. Now, as it's been explained to me, in those days, in early times, when authors would write their book in order to give it testimony or to give it weight, because they didn't have patent offices and copyright centers back then. So people would oftentimes put some sort of a declaration at the end saying no one could add to these words. So it wasn't uncommon to say something like that for authors or writers, and in particular people who took their faith very seriously, as John did. So, you know, you can have that own, you are going to have to make that decision. You know, as a Christian, and there are a lot of Christians in the Urantia community, you have to make that decision. But I will share with you something that I read. When I say you have to make that decision, what I mean is ultimately you have to come to terms with God as to whether you feel you're betraying Christianity or betraying the Christian church, or for that matter, betraying the Lord by not believing that the Bible is the definitive and finished work of God. And that's a tough one for a lot of folks. I heard the guy from Kansas, was it Kansas? And that they sang Dust in the Wind. The guitarist for that group was a former Urantia book reader. And he said, you know what, I'm sticking with the Bible. And that's okay. I mean, you know, look, when I'm gonna read to you something here from paper 155, section 6, on the second discourse on religion. And these are Jesus' own words from the Urantia Revelation. And so I'm going to dedicate this podcast to people that are having that issue. The new readers to the Urantia book, maybe former Christians, maybe people who weren't Christian, but because of the Urantia teachings, they've become closer to Christ. So let me read paper 155, the second discourse on religion. And hopefully this will give you peace of mind, lift some weight off your shoulders, not make you feel that you're embarking on something that's dangerous or a betrayal of your faith in the Lord. And this is Jesus saying, "You have come out from among those of your fellows who choose to remain satisfied with a religion of mind, who crave security and prefer conformity. You have elected to exchange your feelings of authoritative certainty for the assurances of the spirit of adventurous and progressive faith. You have dared to protest against the grueling bondage of institutional religion and to reject the authority of the traditions of record, which are now regarded as the word of God. Our Father did indeed speak through Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea, but he did not cease to minister words of truth to the world when these prophets of old made an end of their utterances. my father is no respecter of races or generations, and that the word of truth is vouchsafed one age and withheld from another. Commit not the folly of calling that divine which is wholly human, and fail not to discern the words of truth which come not through the traditional oracles of supposed inspiration. I have called upon you to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. I have called you out of the darkness of authority and the lethargy of tradition into the transcendent light of the realization of the possibility of making for yourself the greatest discovery possible for the human soul to make, the supernal experience of finding God for yourself, in yourself, and of yourself, and doing all of this as a fact in your own personal experience. Then he goes on to read a little bit farther down, your religion shall change from the mere intellectual belief in traditional authority to the actual experience of living that faith which is able to grasp the reality of God and all that relates to the divine spirit of the Father. Religion of the mind ties you hopelessly to the past. The religion of the spirit consists in progressive revelation and ever beckons you on higher, toward higher and holier achievements in spiritual ideals and eternal realities. I think that particular paragraph speaks to the difference between those who are challenged by the Urantia book and choose to follow because it's just such a wider scope. You know, the line, you've got a choice between the mere intellectual belief in traditional authority and the actual experience of living faith, which opens up the door so that you can grasp the full reality of God. The religion of the mind ties you hopelessly to the past. The religion of the spirit consists in progressive revelation and ever beckons you on higher and holier achievements and spiritual ideals and eternal realities. And that's what I think part and parcel is the appeal of the Urantia book, because it gives a full picture of reality, the fullest ever presented, actually. While the religion of authority, Jesus says, may impart a present feeling of settled security, you pay for such a transient satisfaction the price of the loss of your spiritual freedom and religious liberty. My Father does not require of you as the price of entering the kingdom of heaven that you should force yourself to subscribe to a belief in things which are spiritually repugnant, unholy, and untruthful. It is not required of you that your own sense of mercy, justice, and truth should be outraged by submission to an outworn system of religious form and ceremonies. The religion of the Spirit leaves you forever free to follow the truth wherever the leadings of the Spirit may take you. And who can judge? Perhaps the Spirit may have something to impart to this generation, which other generations have refused to hear. Jesus goes on to say, shame on those false religious teachers who would drag hungry souls back into the dim and distant past and there leave them. And so are these unfortunate persons doomed to become frightened by every new discovery, while they are discomfited by every new revelation of truth. The prophet who said, he will be kept in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God, was not a mere intellectual believer in authoritative theology. This truth-knowing human had discovered God. He was not merely talking about God. Every race of mankind has its own mental outlook upon human existence. Therefore must the religion of the mind ever run true to these various racial viewpoints. Never can the religions of authority come to unification. Human unity and mortal brotherhood can only be achieved by and through the superendowment of the religion of the Spirit. There's a line in here that I enjoy probably more than any. It says, never forget that there is only one adventure which is more satisfying and thrilling than the attempt to discover the will of the living God, and that is the supreme experience of honestly trying to do that divine will. and fail not to remember that the will of God can be done in any earthly occupation. Some callings are not holy and others secular. All things are sacred in the lives of those who are spirit-led. That's a good line. All things are sacred in the lives of those who are spirit-led. That is, subordinated to truth, ennobled by love, dominated by mercy, and restrained by fairness, justice. The Spirit which my Father and I shall send into the world is not only the Spirit of truth, but also the Spirit of idealistic beauty. You must cease to seek for the Word of God only on the pages of the olden records of theologic authority. Those who are born of the Spirit of God shall henceforth discern the Word of God, regardless of whence it appears to take origin. Divine truth must not be discounted because the channels of its bestowal is apparently human. Many of your brethren have minds which accept the theory of God while they spiritually fail to realize the presence of God. He concludes with this. I would encourage you to read the full, that's about 80% of it, but it's good to read. I'll just close with this. And he writes, or he says, "You are my apostles, and to you religion shall not become a theological shelter to which you may flee in fear of facing the rugged realities of spiritual progress and idealistic adventure, but rather shall your religion become the fact of real experience which testifies that God has found you, idealized, ennobled, and spiritualized you, and that you have enlisted in the eternal adventure of finding God who has thus found and sonshipped you." And then when Jesus had finished speaking, he beckoned to Andrew, and pointing to the west toward Phoenicia, said, "Let us be on our way." And those are the words as spoken by Christ over 2,000 years ago, the second discourse of religion from paper 155, section 6. And he's asked many questions by the apostles because essentially, if you remember, in this particular period of time, Jesus was dealing with a lot of rabbis and Jewish scribes who were criticizing them for introducing this strange new teaching that was, in a similar way, was going against what the religious authority had to say. And when you have a religious authority, preachers and, you know, in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, that can be very intimidating. So I think Jesus tried to address this issue. If you're truly of the Spirit, then you won't be afraid at every new discovery, even if it comes from an unorthodox source. This is why I can enjoy the truths of Islam and Buddhism and all these other, take the best kernels of truth from every one of those religions, because truth can be discerned anywhere. Sometimes not. But as a truth seeker, the freedom and the liberty to be able to seek truth in its many appearances is quite liberating, in fact. Anyway, I hope that was inspiring for you. Thought it was nice to take a brief little detour and address yet another wonderful email. If you have a question or a comment or a suggestion, you can always email us at yourantiabookradio@gmail.com. yourantiabookradio@gmail.com. Until next time, thanks again for joining me on the Urantia Radio Podcast.